This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
Welcome back. Silver and Black today, an Odyssey original podcast covering the Las Vegas Raiders. Also, a hello to the listeners on the radio. That's right, on the Bet in Las Vegas. Our sports station, our Odyssey sports station in the city of lights, Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for being with us all. If you don't subscribe to the show already, wherever you get your audio, just search Silver and Black today and you'll find us. I'm Scott Gabranson, your host. Also, my co-host, the national NFL writer for Bleacher Report, Mo Moten, Midtown Mo, as we call him. You can follow him on Twitter, M-O-E-M-O-T-O-N. We've had fun talking about free agency. Now, Mo, it's time to turn it over to them. The fans, the listeners, Raider Nation mailbag segment for the week. But before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit about our interactions on Twitter this week.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Uh-oh.
They've been such a mixed bag. I said it yesterday. In a period of 2 hours, somebody was telling me that I hate the Raiders. I'm a Raider hater. Bringing up the fact that I grew up a Charger fan, because that's always, some people love to continue to bring that up for some reason. And number two, I had somebody else then tell me that I'm on the payroll. I've had more than one person because I was being positive and that I wasn't saying that the world was ending. And you and I always get into the whole Twitter thing and how it's just not reality and that it definitely serves a certain mindset more than others. Not that there isn't positive, great folks on Twitter, because we interact with a lot of them as well. But just like last year, and I had to check, it's happening in all fan bases. It's not just Raider Nation. But Raider Nation, because of the pent-up demand for, I don't know, a playoff team, it's been so crazy. And I've never muted as many people in my life as I did this year, because I've never had more people come at me. And I don't even block them. I just mute them. But it's interesting how in 2 hours... Window opens Monday. 2 hours later, the Raiders are going to fail. They're going to stink. They're not going to win a game next year. It's remarkable how fast it goes.
As a Twitter free agency veteran on the NFL side, I'll just say this, Scott. I'm just going to give you some advice. And you probably don't even need it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. There are fans out there who are going to be upset because they were staunch supporters of Derek Carr, and they feel like, whatever happens after the release of Derek Carr, this regime is doomed to fail. There are other fans who feel like no matter what, the Patriot way is a failure. And I can understand that portion of fans because, as we just said in the first segment, has not worked out for the most part for other coaches under Bill Belichick.
Right.
And then there are other fans who are on the positive side. And I heard our buddy Murph over at Raider Fan Radio say, look, I'm not going to be negative, because if I'm negative, I'm not going to put energy into this. I'm just going to look at it from a positive perspective, because what else could I do? I'm not here making the moves. But all I could do as a fan is hope for the best. Now, may I question certain moves? May I not like certain moves? Yeah, sure. But I'm going to sit here and I'm going to hope for the best because I'm not going to make myself sick over things that I cannot control.
Right. And vent. Fans vent, right? Yeah. You've heard me vent. Baseball-wise, I'm a Padres fan. I've had 50 years of nothing, okay? So I know that feel. I know that feeling. But unless the Padres have – now, the Padres are spending money like they're – like it's going out of style. So they're actually going to compete. So I feel really good at going into the year. If my team wasn't, I would understand the point of view. But as I said, and you've been saying to people, like, look, and what Murph said so perfectly, which is you choose to how you're going to react to it. You can't control it. I think fans want to feel like they can control it sometimes. And again, the venting is good. I got no problem with it. After games, we do our live show and people are venting. It's awesome. It's perfect. That's what it's for.
It's great.
But this idea that they owe you something or that you, because it's been 20 years, and it's funny when people start talking about 25 years and I look and they're like 26 years old. Because really, how long have they suffered? But anyway, you look at that and you're like, you can't control the team. All you can control is one thing, and that is if you follow the team or you don't follow the team. Like, you have a choice, right? And so, yes, you want your team, you're invested. I had a PSL holder fight with me saying, I've invested 50K. I have a say, you know, if they don't do that, why invested this? And it's my investment. I said, well, it's not really an investment. Well, no, it is. And I said, and that's what the ticket person told you. Now, unless you sell your tickets for a profit, which is perfectly within your rights, which Raider fans hate because then visiting fans come in. It's not really an investment. What it's an investment in is your desire to go and enjoy the game and be a fan. That's where your investment is. That I agree on. So I get this, but the emotional, what's the emotional investment? Like, I just can't imagine. And I know people will say, you don't understand. You haven't been a Raider fan. I get that piece of it, but I am a fan of other teams. So I understand it. But you get to decide every day, Mo, if you're going to be negative and the world is coming to an end and the sky is falling, then that's how it's going to feel for you all the time. Even when you succeed, you're never going to truly enjoy it because you're going to be waiting for the other shoe to drop.
As the resident Raider fan on the show, grew up
you're
a Raider
Jets fan
on the show. Since I grew up a Raiders fan, I understand. If you are a person who's gone to games, spent your money, because let's remember, you know, majority of America isn't rich. It's expensive to go to these games. So you're going to these games, you're supporting a team. And I understand the frustration where I'm spending my money to go watch a bad football team. No one wants that.
No.
I have a friend who's a Raider fan who drove from Kentucky to Las Vegas to see the Raiders.
What?
And they got spanked by the Chiefs. He was not happy. So I can totally understand. I can totally understand being upset that you spend all of this money, however you spend it, on the Raiders, and they're not putting a quality product on the field. The other thing I will say is the investment is the emotional investment. And that's what we deal with on social media, on Twitter. Yes. And this is why I'm patient with fans online, because I understand the emotional investment. I understand venting and going on social media, because that's your time where you can have your say, so to speak. Sure. Now, you don't have say in what the Raiders are doing, but you get to speak your mind, and it's their time to speak their mind. So this is why I would say, Scott, my advice to you is, if you get a person who's just overly emotional, let them have that moment. Now, if a fan asks you a question or they have an inquiry, that's when you have a dialogue with them. You can have a civil discussion online.
Yes, I do. The issue, though, is when somebody calls you an a-hole because your opinion is different, that's different. Like, I have plenty of people, I have great discussions with people who 100% disagree with something I say. They believe the exact opposite and they tell me emphatically why. Totally cool. Mm-hmm. I love that, right? And I like that because it makes me test my own thinking. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I'll say something and you'll have a different view. And we talk about it. We go back and forth, whether it's text or on the show here. And I'm like, well, that's a good point. I didn't think of it that way. My mind is in a different space now. Because you can, by the way, you can change your mind. You can say, yes,
it's against the law.
Unbelievable. And that's what Murph talked about on his show too. But the point is, you can save a tweet of something I said 3 months ago that turned out to be wrong. Because guess what? I know it's hard to believe, but I am human. And yes, things, we're all wrong on things. And I'm perfectly fine to admit that. But fans' emotions on an hourly basis on free agency, I just, listen, be excited, but at the same time, give it some time. And I have to say that the majority of fans that I've now interacted with are actually in that boat. They're in the, hey, I'm not exactly excited. I'm questioning what's going on, but I'm going to wait a little bit and see what happens. Like that I totally get. They're emotional too, but they're giving it some time. And of course, this drove a lot of mail to the mailbag, so we got to get to that as well. But but anyway, listen, for those people out there who don't want to call my mother things and make fun of all kinds of personal appearance stuff and all that, look, I don't need you in my life. It's cool. You can go do that. I don't really care. But for those folks who want to have dialogue, I love it. And I know, Mo, you love it. We both do it. And the one thing I always say, and I tweeted it out too, which is we're going to be objective. I'm not going to be as, and I used your term, by the way, I don't know if you saw the tweet, unicorns and rainbows. I'm not going to be that.
I saw the emojis.
Yes. And you're not going to do it either. And so that's what I say. If you want stuff blown up the backside, then go find it. You can find it. And God bless those people who make that content because that's what they do. And there's nothing wrong with it. But that's not what we do here. So what we'd like to do, though, is we like to interact with people. So that's good. That's why we do a mailbag. Right, we don't have to do a mailbag. We could fill the time talking because look, I won't shut up now. But we'll get to your questions because there's lots of them, and we're gonna get to a few today, and we'll carry some over to next week. All right, you ready, Mo?
I'm absolutely ready. I've been dealing with questions all day on Twitter from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so I'm prepared.
I know you've been very good about that in between your writing. All right, here's one from Brian Bowles. Brian says, hey, my name is Brian. I just wanted to say my thoughts on the whole Jimmy G situation. The more I think about it, the more I support it. Not being that I like Jimmy G, I don't. I made fun of him as a 49er because he was on San Francisco. But because this signing shows the Raiders aren't panicking, drafting a top QB who we aren't confident in would be a panic move. The contract is very friendly, and even though I haven't seen the official deal, I bet we will have to, we have a good out in 2025. It just confirms to me that they want to build long-term. Thanks again, Brian Bowles, first time a mail to us. So Brian, thank you for that. What do you think? Does the Jimmy G move, I know it was the first one and it was somewhat polarizing, and I get why. For a lot of the same reasons you and I talked about on the show, which is a health issue. But his point about it shows that they're not panicking. Do you agree with that?
I agree in the sense that now reports came out on Wednesday that the Raiders inquired about the number one overall pick from the Bears and that they made a call on Aaron Rodgers, but the trade didn't consummate. So they turned their attention to Jimmy G. So that to that point, I agree with Brian's email that they're not panicking. They didn't go desperate and say, okay, we have to get Aaron Rodgers. We're willing to give up anything for Aaron Rodgers. We're willing to give up anything for the number one overall pick. Dave Ziegler has a limit of what he's willing to compensate or spend for certain things. And he's going to stick to that philosophy, whether it works or not. And I can respect that because at least you know he's not going to overpay or overcompensate for something. And that could be a problem with any organization, especially when you're working with a situation you don't have a clear-cut quarterback. Teams get desperate. And the last thing you want to be in the NFL is desperate because teams, other good GMs can use that as a leverage.
Yep.
But the other thing I will say about the Jimmy G thing is what I said on Tuesday is that while I didn't want the Raiders to sign Jimmy G, I can agree with the contract that he got. The contract that Jimmy G got was appropriate. And I had to point this out 50 times on Twitter when I pointed out the fact that part of the reason the Raiders probably traded Darren Waller is because of his injury history. People go, well, what about Jimmy G? He's hurt all the time. And I will say it's a big difference between being injury prone and being paid the top of your market and being injury prone and being paid an appropriate contract that addresses your injury history. The Raiders addressed the injury history of Jimmy Garoppolo with the contract that they paid him. That wasn't the case with Darren Waller. Jimmy Garoppolo is paid like a middling quarterback who's been injury prone. Darren Waller produced like a tight end who was a middling tight end, but yet he was being paid at the top of his market. His production didn't match his contract.
Right.
So I understand why they moved on from Darren Waller and why they signed Jimmy G to the contract that they did sign him to.
Yeah, no doubt. And you gave me advice earlier on Twitter. I'm going to give you some advice on Twitter now. You ready?
I'm waiting.
People don't read. Like you give them facts and they don't read sometimes. So even though you laid out the contract thing and why it was a good deal for the Raiders, whether you like Garoppolo or not, the contract itself, he doesn't earn a lot of the money unless he plays. So if he only plays 8 games, guess what? He's not making the money. and it's a
cheap cut. The emailer Brian pointed out, they're outs in Jimmy G's contract where they're not married to Jimmy G for 3 years.
Correct.
They're literally on every step of the way, even after the first year, even though there's a little more dead cap there, they can get out of his contract. So it's not like they're strapped to Jimmy G and it's Jimmy G or nothing for the next 3 years.
Correct. And also, I may add, I still believe, and I could be wrong, because it might now be a little bit out of reach. We don't know. I still believe they may be trying to trade up and thinking about one of those quarterbacks. If they were willing to trade into number one, that tells me that they like one of those guys at the top two, meaning Bryce Young or CJ Stroud. I would think it would be CJ Stroud. And they're willing to play at the top of the draft as long as they don't have to sell the farm, right? And which they were going to have to do with Carolina and Carolina and the Chicago Bears. What Carolina was able to give the Bears was just more than the Raiders could or would give up. And people are saying, well, they could have given Darren Waller. Darren Waller, DJ Moore, not in the same league at this point, especially when you look at age and projected availability based on the past. So that's not even in question. But anyway, I still think that they could make a play. And I don't care what they do in the first round. They will still draft a quarterback somewhere in this draft, and they will sign another veteran of some sort because they need another quarterback. They have to have a second quarterback, whether it's a young guy or it's another veteran. If they don't get somebody in the draft, you can bet that they're going to get two more bodies in camp. So we'll see who that is. All right, Brian, thank you again for that. Guess what? We have another question on Jimmy G. And this is more of an email. This is from our good friend Jordan Ford in St. Louis. He says, I've already seen people criticize the Jimmy Garoppolo signing, saying, why would we make this lateral move? Here's his response. He says, everyone would agree if Derek Carr was on the same deal that Jimmy Garoppolo was on, we would take Derek Carr. The fact is he's not. The fact is the team did not value him at the contract as the Saints were willing to pay. We all know that this year will most likely be a year we draft a quarterback. So would you rather have Derek Carr on a big contract or Jimmy Garoppolo on a shorter term contract, even if he gets hurt with a young quarterback behind him? The glass is half full. It's a half glass full take, but we finally have optimism because it's something new, and I'd rather be optimistic than just say it's going to be a crap year because it was crap before. Sorry for the long-winded response. I just really feel like we should be positive. There you go. That is Jordan Ford, who's written to the show before from St. Louis. Jordan's take. I mean, his point about Derek Carr and the contract, you know, people are trying to compare the two quarterbacks. And I know, I'm sure Baldy talked about it a little bit when we talked to him in the last segment. He mentioned it a little, but the comparison is natural. You have to do it, right? You got rid of one guy, you bring in another guy. But when you look at the financial terms, Mo, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, I've been on a show and I said, if you separate contract aside, if you put Derek Carr and Jimmy Garoppolo in the same contract in the same system, I would take Derek Carr over Jimmy Garoppolo. Simply, you know, Derek Carr is way more available than Jimmy G. I think Derek Carr has a better arm talent than Jimmy G. The accuracy is about the same. Jimmy G is completing about 67% of his passes. But you have to look at the fact that it was clear that this regime felt like Derek Carr wasn't a fit. So you're taking out a quarterback who supposedly wasn't a fit for Josh McDaniels, and you're bringing in a quarterback who has experience, previous experience. I know it was a while ago, but still has that experience around Josh McDaniels' system. So I would say in that sense, it's an upgrade from a quarterback, again, who didn't fit, to a quarterback who you know fits in your offense. Now, as far as the contract is concerned, I'll reiterate as I did after the first email, is the fact that yes, Jimmy G signed a 3-year, I believe $67.5 million, something like that.
Yep.
But it's $22.5 million per year. Those are the face numbers. The guaranteed money is up to $45 million guaranteed. For a quarterback who's a middling quarterback, injury prone, that's fair. I believe he's in the middle of the pack in terms of guarantees and AAV, which is annual salary. So in the sense, you get a quarterback that knows the system and you're not overpaying for him, is a decent situation, even though I prefer the Raiders win another direction at the quarterback position.
Yeah, and you can say, I mean, we saw Baker Mayfield sign in Tampa Bay on Wednesday. You saw the number there. He's competing for a job. He's not the starter coming in. He was not going to get the same number that Jimmy Garoppolo was. He just wasn't going to. And so you can't compare the two of them as well. But you look at that whole situation with the quarterbacks and think about the top of the market. When you think about the base salary for Jimmy G being 11.25 And you look at Joe Burrow. Again, I'm not comparing these two guys because Joe Burrow is one of the top two quarterbacks in the league, in my view. The number that they're talking about, the contract they're working on him for now is about $50 million a year, right? And then, of course, you saw what Derek Carr got in New Orleans. So you're right. You have to look at it from that perspective. I'm not saying it's sexy. I know ladies think he's sexy, but I'm saying from a football perspective. I got a couple of those. But you look at that, and I understand fans aren't like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go buy a Jimmy G jersey. I get that. But for what you're getting, the potential of what you're getting, if he stays healthy, it's not a bad deal at all.
Scott, let's call it what it is. The Raiders are hoping Jimmy G is their version of Alex Smith or what the Chiefs had before Patrick Mahomes.
Great analogy.
I'm not saying that the Raiders are going to get Patrick Mahomes in the draft, but what I'm saying is they're hoping Jimmy G is healthy enough to be that bridge quarterback that Alex Smith was before they get and find their guy of the future.
And remember, the key with the Jimmy, this is what, and I told you this on when he got signed and we talked about it, which was the idea that if you look at his contract, they have that clean out after 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. Right? After 2024.
It's like 3.75 million for that if they cut him after 2 years.
If they cut him after 2 years, right. So what that tells me is if they don't get their young quarterback this year, they're giving themselves 2 years to get a young quarterback. And to have him start after the 2 years, you would hope that you get the guy maybe this year. And if you don't, next year. And they either way, they get a year in the system to learn the system before they might have a chance to start or play. And that's why that contract structure works out so well. All right. So thank you for that one. We appreciate it, Jordan, out in St. Louis. Boy, that XFL team is doing good out there. You see their attendance records and all that stuff? Pretty
take
crazy.
Notes, Mark Davis.
Next one is from Johnny in Las Vegas, and he says, hey guys, please tell me you think Dave Ziegler is doing a good job, because I don't. Question, do you guys have any idea, based on what the moves have been so far, what Dave Ziegler's plan is for the Raiders now and in the future? I want to believe, but I can't see any vision here. That's Johnny in Las Vegas.
I'll take this one, Scott. And because I said this on Twitter on, what was it, Tuesday night, I tweeted this. I said, I believe the plan right now, even though it's not appealing to fans because you don't want to see your top players go, I really feel like the Raiders, and when I say Raiders, Dave Ziegler and Josh Daniels came into Las Vegas thinking, we're going to compete and win now. And when that didn't work out, they had to pivot to a rebuild. And what happens during a rebuild? You compile picks, you add all these depth signings, you don't go for the top guys because you're basically tearing things down to build it back up. Mm-hmm. And you don't do that with expensive signings. So which trade Darren Waller for a third round pick. I still feel like Hunter Renfrow is going to get traded. And they're compiling picks. As I said, I believe that I said this in the first segment. I think they're compiling picks to move up for a quarterback. Now, if they don't get a quarterback, what they can do is they can bundle some of these picks to maneuver themselves up and down a draft to get some blue chip prospects in the draft. So again, this is a rebuild. Don't get it mistaken. Don't get it twisted here. I know this is year two of Dave Ziegler and Josh McDaniels, but this is a rebuild. New quarterback. You have to overhaul the defense. That's a rebuild. And again, when a rebuild happens, you compile draft picks. You have a bunch of cheap signings that come in, guys that know the system who can play right away. And that's the start of what you would hope is a good build for the future.
And I understand it's semantics. And I agree 100% with you, Mo, and how you laid it out. Because, and I was trying to explain this to somebody today, which was, here's the deal. Because, oh, they said they would come in and compete. And that's because they believe they could. Now, they made a bad assessment. Right?
Work.
It didn't work. So were they lying? No, everybody says they were lying. Mark Davis lied. No, they didn't lie. They misread what they had and what they could do with what they had. Now, is that on them? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Fair criticism, right? But I don't believe they lied. And now I have a lot of the fans in Raider Nation are saying, I'm not down for another rebuild. Well, you kind of knew it was going to happen. And the people who are saying, well, he took a playoff team and made it sick. Yes, they should not have gone as backward as they did, but they did. And so now I think what they realized, and listen, Mark Davis, it's his team. I understand a lot of you don't like him and you think that he's inept, but he made the decision to put these guys in charge. And so now these guys have to remake the team with players they believe, not John Gruden believes or Mike Mayock believes, can do the job and do it in their system. We've now heard more and more. We saw David Carr, great clip the other day, talking about how his brother just didn't click and it didn't work. He didn't want to, he didn't do the things that Josh McDaniels wants his quarterbacks to do, which is basically just do what you're told. And so you get insight there. So that's why Derek Carr wasn't a culture fit. He wasn't going to work, not just because, not because he's not a good quarterback, but because they weren't going to work. So the franchise chose the coach, the GM, over the quarterback, and they wanted to give him what he says he needs to win. Now, whether or not they'll be successful at that, different story. So far, the results have been terrible. But we'll see. And I think that's where this comes in, is what is the vision? The vision is they're making it as they go. And that vision is going to be based on their level of knowledge, their desire, and how they want to shape their football team.
And I said this on Twitter, Scott, to people. I'm not here to sell you unicorns and rainbows and tell you everything is going to work out perfectly.
We don't know.
I'm not here to tell you that it's going to suck and it's not going to work out at all. What I am here to do is to tell you what might happen and why it's happening.
Right.
And that's what you will call objectivity. Again, I'm not here to sell Dave Ziegler and Schilfer and say, you got to hang in there. You got to believe in it. I'm not going to do that, because as a fan, that's your prerogative. However you want a fan, that's how you want to do it. If you want to be highly critical, do you. If you want to be highly supportive, do you. I'm not here to tell you to be either side. But what I'm here to just tell you is that this is why it's probably, these are the moves that are that could happen, and this is why it's probably happening, to give you kind of a heads up of how it could make sense for you. If you're trying to make sense of what's happening, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah. And Johnny, just to finish this up, and thank you for your question, by the way, appreciate it. Very good one. Listen, their vision, they had a vision when they got to Las Vegas, and somewhere, I'm going to guess around October, they realized that vision wasn't going to work just for all sorts of reasons. And so now we are where we are. And so I think that sucks. I understand from a fan perspective, and they have a lot to prove. There's no question. I may be positive and saying, hey, you guys got to wait for things to shake out before you get a bit crazy on us. But I will tell you this. If you listen to this show, and I've had a lot of people, new followers on Twitter lately, so a lot of them don't listen to the show. They know us from Twitter or whatever. And I tell them, if you listen to the show, Mo and I have been saying the same things. I was using the catchphrase that I was charging Josh McDaniels with coaching malpractice. So for those of you who think that I get paid by the Raiders, I don't. But number two, we've been critical of the entire front office. We criticized the Waller deal when it happened. So again, you know, it's just, we did. And so you're going to get it as we feel. And again, not always right, but I'm just telling you, we're going to give it to you that way. Mo's right. We're not going to tell you how to fan. I might tell you you're being too negative and it's not good for your health. That's not because I'm telling you not to fan that way. I'm just telling you, I don't want you to drop dead because it's not worth it.
Scott, one last analogy, right? You're a father, right? And I'm sure you've taken road trips.
Yes.
I'm sure you've gotten in a car, got on a road and said, we want to get to point A at a certain time. We want to get to point B at a certain time. And it turns out that didn't happen. You came into it with a plan, right? But you had to pivot from that plan because something happened. Maybe somebody got sick. You forgot something. You had to make a detour. This road is closed. You can come into a situation with a plan, but doesn't mean it's going to work out. And when it doesn't work out, you gotta pivot. You gotta have a plan B.
You gotta pivot. The kid throws up on you in the car, right. Whatever. In fact, no. It's funny you say that, Mo, because I had my son the other day. We said, okay, we're gonna do this on Saturday. I forgot what the activity was, and then it snowed outside. It was cold. We couldn't get outside, and then my younger son was sick. So we're like, okay, we can't go to the museum. I think it was the museum. We can't go to the museum today. We're gonna go next week. You lied to me. You lied. You said we were gonna go. Well, I didn't lie to you. We were going to go. But guess what happened? Your brother got sick. It snowed outside. The roads aren't great. So we're not going to go. And so this is what I'm talking about with people. It's like, yes, if people misrepresent something, if Mark Davis said to you tomorrow in an interview that we're going for the Super Bowl this year, we will do anything to win. And then you see what happened. I get it. But at the time, they had this press conference and everybody's all jovial because they just signed for a ton of money. They have a vision, but things change. And I understand it's not fun, but just keep that in mind. So Mo, great, great reminder for everybody. All right. We are at the end of the show. We went a little long, but it's been a busy week. And I know you guys are downloading the heck out of this show. We're glad you're here to listen to us. And we got more coming up as news breaks. If something happens in the next, you know, the rest of today on Thursday, tomorrow on Friday, We'll certainly try to get on the air with you and give you some more content. Also, we got the draft coming up, so we'll spend a little bit of next week talking about that, but then we're going to start talking about the free agency, but then we're going to start looking towards the draft. We got a slew of guests. We'll get Baldy back on, as he told us he would come back on to talk about the draft. We got some folks from Bleacher Report coming on the draft. We have other national media who cover the NFL draft who will be on with us as well. Mo, I'm getting excited about the draft now. We can, not quite yet, but we can almost start turning the page and turning our attention to those young bucks that we're going to see drafted in April in Kansas City.
And let's just hope the Raiders make some moves before, in between now and the draft, because Raider fans are going to be so gloomy going to the draft if the Raiders don't make at least one notable signing. They're ready to see some improvements, specifically on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah, if I had to go in a casino in Las Vegas and put all my money on red or black right now on the roulette table on what they'll do, I'm with you. I think they're going to make a move for a defensive player. I'm still holding out some thought that they move up in the draft. We'll see. But I think the biggest probability is that they do something on the defensive side, whether that's up front, linebacker, defensive, whatever it is. I think they're going to do something there, and that's why they're getting those picks.
Two things I would probably, if I had to put some money on, Hunter Renfrow traded and an acquisition for a defensive player. Those two things I think are still on the radar for the Raiders.
Absolutely. All right, man. Well, listen, as always, my friend, thanks for being with us.
Sounds good. Appreciate it. We'll be back with a lot. We got second wave of free agency. As I said, Dave Ziegler, I feel like, is waiting for some prices to drop with some players. So second wave of free agency could be a lot more eventful than the first wave for the Raiders.
Yes. And as teams look to trade away assets, again, that market's going to heat up too. And we're going to talk about it here on Silver and Black today. Do us a favor. If you don't already subscribe to the show, do so wherever you get your podcast, wherever you get your audio. Just look for Silver and Black today. Turn on those auto downloads for us. That helps us out. We appreciate that. And then make sure you don't miss any new shows. Also, please do us a favor and make sure you subscribe if you're watching us on YouTube. The YouTube guys, Mo, was really funny because we record the show and then we premiere it and I jump in the chat live. You know, they're like, why are you talking about, you didn't talk about that. It's like, well, yeah, it's free agency. Like, things happen every hour. We can't be live for 12 hours a day, but we certainly appreciate you there. Make sure you subscribe and hit the notifications bell. And then for our listeners on Silver and Black today on Odyssey's The Bet in Las Vegas, we appreciate you guys being with us too. For Mo Moten, for our producer, David Stepanian, I am Scott Colbranson. We will see you guys on Tuesday. Thanks again.